Hi, I'm going to tell you the story today about young Cameron. Now, at 2.5 years old, Lynn Webster, an ex-air hostess, should have been enjoying her little boy Cameron instead of being constantly worried about him. Ignored by doctors and even called a neurotic mum by her GP, Lynn and now 20-year-old Cameron are going to share their story with us. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, Victoria. Say hello.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm okay.
You good?
Yeah. I need to drive to Oakham Park.
Yeah, well, we'll tell them about that later.
Okay. So, Lynn, would you mind telling us, how did you know at such a young age that there was something not quite right with Cameron?
I wanted a boy as long as I, you know, wanted children. Yes, you were in my tummy. And when he arrived, he was perfect, blonde hair, blue eyed, exactly what I wanted. I was on my own at the time, though. I was a single mum. And it just, right from the start, he wasn't feeding right. And I just had this gut instinct that something wasn't right. I mean, I was an older mum, classed as an older mum then, because I was 38 when I gave birth. And I just thought, well, you know, am I just not dealing with this right? But my gut instinct was that something wasn't right. And as I say, I would give him a bottle, but he'd like take about an inch. And then not long afterwards would just vomit it all back. And this, it went on for quite a while. I had the health visitor involved and it was awful. There was nothing pleasurable about it at all. And I just thought, this is not how it should be. You're supposed to have these fantastic times with your baby and cuddling them and feeding them, but it was just horrendous right from the start. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, cool. So, and I understand that by the time Cameron was 2.5, you got this diagnosis. And am I right in thinking, and I'll try and get this correct in saying it, it was a modular blastoma, is that correct?
Medulla blastoma. Okay. He was just two after months and, well, years, a couple of years of going backwards and forwards to the doctor, accident and emergency. We went up 999 a couple of times. He was under a paediatrician. He saw so many people. And like you say, they actually said I was neurotic. But because in between these bouts of him vomiting, he was a healthy little boy. So you'd get probably a couple of months. But eventually, I paid private, actually, to go and see somebody because I knew it wasn't right. So, and we were going on holiday. We were actually going to go to Canada. So I paid private to see somebody, and that day that we went, Cameron was particularly boisterous and lovely, and didn't seem much wrong with him anyway. The doctor, I just remember the consultant patting him on the head. I'd taken my mum with me because I was worried to go to any appointments because I was classed as neurotic, and the consultant patted him on his head and said, "There's nothing wrong with you, Cameron. It's your mother." So I said, right, so we're okay to go to Canada. So we went to Canada skiing, and it just wasn't right. And to cut a long story short, when we came home, he basically didn't wake up. So he was being sick. We got him into hospital, and it was dead. We were at the critical point, basically. He started fitting. They blue lighted us up to Alderhay because they'd found that he'd got hydrocephalus, he'd got water on the brain. This was what was making him sick, but we didn't know why he'd got water on the brain. This was just a massive shock. But it was also a little bit of a relief because I knew then that I'd been right all along. Mm-hmm. A mother's instinct, and I was. My gut feeling was right. Nobody listened to me. So, yeah, when we got there, he had an emergency. You're all right. It's okay. We're just talking about you. Mm-hmm. He had an emergency shunt operation to release all this fluid. And then the next day they did an MRI scan. And this is when they found this huge, it was like the size of an orange tumour. And it was a medulla blastoma, which is at the base of your the back of your brain, mm-hmm. the cerebellum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. And it's such a young age, such a big tumor. That's huge. Because, I mean, he was tiny.
Yeah, he was. And, I to this day, I'm like, if you'd have listened to me, it would have been smaller. Could you not have taken it out?
I didn't say that.
Would he have the problems he has today? But, there's no point really doing that. He's here. He's 20. He's amazing. You know, we didn't think he was going to live past 5.
I didn't like the muck when I went out with Daryl.
Oh, never mind. We'll talk about that in a minute. And got to look forward. And it's just... is a joy, but it was medulloblastoma, which they've since been reclassified. I'm not sure what it is now, but it has been reclassified. But that's what he was treated for, a medulloblastoma, and he actually got another one. He did have two in the end.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So medulloblastoma, obviously we know that there are so many different types of brain tumors. Was it explained to you exactly what that was?
Well, it was all a bit of a blur. So they told us what it was, where it was, and it explained a lot of the conditions that he had, what it was actually doing. So, this particular tumour can spread through the spine. So it affects the brain and the spine, this one, if they don't treat it correctly. So, yes, he'd always had trouble walking. He had a right gait. He would fall to the right and vomiting, and it was explained, but the technicalities didn't go in that much. It was so poorly. We sort of knew what it was,
and it's quite difficult to take all of that in as well, isn't it? I know that when the day that I was diagnosed and told what my brain tumor was, I think I literally, actually, my memory of it was very scattered, in that I remember the surgeon telling me, you've got a meningioma, you've got a brain tumor, and I don't remember anything else. I don't remember the conversations that my brother and my two daughters, I've got grown-up daughters, I have no memory of the conversation that they had. And the only thing I can remember thinking was my neurosurgeon had very strange hair, and this gentleman is amazing. He's an amazing brain surgeon. He doesn't have weird hair at all. But it's the only thing that I can remember thinking.
What sticks in our brains, really? Yeah, it is. I mean, I just was in a whirl. It was like, this is not happening to me. This is happening to somebody else. You know, it was. It was like a bit of an out-of-body experience, really.
Yeah.
With you.
Makes him a very special young man, doesn't it?
Special? What's special in sign language?
I don't know.
just a very nice young man.
You are, aren't you? Nice young man.
And I understand from previous conversations that we've had that the type of surgery Cameron Han had was quite a rare type. Why was that?
Well, where the tumour was at first, they didn't think they were going to be able to operate because it was in a very strange place. But his surgeon, Mr. May, who's absolutely unbelievable. He went into surgery and we expected...
What's unbelievable?
Your surgeon that sorted out your head. Mm. We didn't expect to have a good result when he came out because we didn't think we were going to get it all. But when he came out of surgery, they had got it all. But then the treatment that he went on afterwards was quite rare for a child of his age. There was only, I think it was only about 60 or 60 something that had this particular protocol. It comes from Boston, I think it was. So it was a very, very strange concoction. But it's worked. So it's obviously got lots of side effects, and there's been lots of... there's lots of challenges, but he's just amazing. He's come through everything. He's such a determined boy, and he always has been from a very, very early age. And that to me is what's got him through. I mean, he's hard working, he's a handful, aren't you? Yeah, you are. But that's why he's here.
Well, can you say that? But he's very quiet today.
Yeah, you're very quiet. What's wrong with you?
Nothing wrong.
Have a chat. Not normally like this.
For those of you watching, Lynn, Cameron and myself, we did have a chat very briefly before we started talking to you guys. And I understand, Cameron, that you are doing the an award, aren't you? Are you doing the Duke of Edinburgh?
Duke of Edinburgh, aren't you?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do for this? What have you been doing?
No, we're not going to Edinburgh. We're going
no, you're not going to Edinburgh. It's called the Duke of Edinburgh Award. It's so you did that walk. Tell Victoria and the people watching, you did a, how far did you walk 2 weeks ago? Now, this is a boy that couldn't hardly walk and we didn't think he would. How many miles did you walk?
10
miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. And you're going camping, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you going camping?
In June.
In June, yeah.
Where are you going, Cameron?
Do you know where?
No.
Lancaster.
Lancaster.
That's it. Lancaster.
And are there lots of people that are going to be going with you?
How many people are going?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five. But I don't know if the viewers are aware, but Cameron's deaf.
I'm not deaf.
You are deaf. No. So he lip reads. He's got hearing aids and he can hear some things, but he lip reads. So I have to keep, you have to watch me, don't you? He's winking at me now.
Yes, I can see that. Lynn, this really is a ridiculous question, and I am really sorry to have to ask you, but how did all of this and ongoing treatment for Cameron, how has this affected you and all of your family and close friends around you?
Horrendous. I was working as a stewardess for British Airways, like you said at the time, and I was flying all over the world. So
you were flying on the aeroplane.
I was flying on an aeroplane, yeah. When I had you.
Do you like a coffee, Madden? Do you like Vanstor back in your seatbelt?
Do you like a coffee, Madden? Would you like a wine, sir, and back in your seat? You used to do that all the time, didn't you? Show them what you used to do.
I told my nanny about it.
He did, yeah. He used to reenact it. It was funny. So, yeah, so to get back to the story, it was horrendous. So I was flying. I was going through. I was married, but things weren't right. So we weren't having a great time anyway. So this put an even bigger strain. We went to Disney after you had your...
We went ice skating.
You did go ice skating, yeah. So I basically lived at Alderhay with him, didn't we? Alderhay Hospital for a year. Mm-hmm. Life was on hold. My husband at the time used to come every now and again. Andy, your dad.
Oh, yeah.
My mum practically lived with us at Ronald McDonald House. It was just, life just stopped and it was just hospital and Cameron and that was it.
And my dad needed to have you at 88.
Yeah, we used to live together there. So, yeah, my life was just turned upside down. But, like I said, I was flying. I didn't care. I hadn't got a care. I didn't know if I was going to lose my job, whether we were going to be able to carry on paying the mortgage. But nothing mattered. And all that mattered was Cameron. So, and that year... although seemed to be a long time, also flew as well. Yeah, but my life was just totally turned upside down. Everybody's was. I mean, his granddad saw him at the hospital when he got to the critical stage having a fit.
And I helped him when I was going that door to get if my granddad not well.
When your granddad wasn't well, you went and got an ambulance for him, didn't you?
He fell down on the table and banged his dad.
He did, sweetheart. So at the time, when Cameron started fitting, when we got to the critical stage, my dad saw this happening. So while Cameron was on life support, the second week, My dad had a heart attack. Awful. I'd got a suspected tumour in my neck. So that had to be put on hold. I did when you were calling. So it was just, looking back now, it's like it's happened to somebody else. So it's like you're watching somebody else. It's bizarre.
Yeah. No, I understand that feeling, because it is, it's quite often, how am I getting through this every day? Mm. When you said that you were in the Ronald McDonald House, were you offered any counselling, any help and support for yourself?
Yes, that was offered. There was the Macmillan team who were there, obviously, to help me with Cameron, and that was offered. But I didn't take up the counselling because I just wanted, I had to be at his bedside every single day, and I just didn't feel there was time for that. It was adrenaline, and I was just going all the time, so I didn't want to sort of take time away and then start talking about it, really. I just wanted to be involved and to get on with it. So it hit me sort of later on, really. Yeah. In fact, probably about a year ago.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, really? That long?
Yeah.
And do you think even now that some sort of counselling would be any help to you?
Yes. I did about a year ago. I ended up in quite a dark place, and it was probably the only time that I'd sort of calmed down and had time to sit back, and things just got on top of me, and then I started reflecting on what had gone on with Cameron and what had gone on in my life, and it was pretty bad. So I did have counselling, yeah. Probably should have had it a long time ago, but there was never time.
Yeah, you can. It's easy to reflect, isn't it, and think, gosh, I shouldn't have done this a long time ago. But you know, you there's no point in living backwards, is there?
There isn't. You can go forwards. That's probably been my motto all along: just get on with it and move forward.
I mean, I can see it's very clear to see that Cameron's doing great. Obviously, he's doing his Duke of Edinburgh. He looks fantastic, and he's very quiet today. But you're in college as well, Cameron, aren't you?
Cameron, Victoria says, are you in college?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to go to college on Monday, Tuesday, but I'm waiting to go on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, you should be there 5 days, but because of the...
I didn't do it before.
It's because of the COVID, because of the... pandemic, the virus, you call it the virus, don't you? He can only do 2 days because they're doing it in bubbles. But yeah, he needs to be there 5 days, really.
Yeah, sure. And he's doing life skills.
He is.
So at some point, he'll be able to put the vacuum cleaner around, the polish and duster, fill the washing machine and make you a Sunday dinner. Is that right?
Yeah, you're learning to cook, do the washing. No. Yes, you are.
No, I'm rubbish.
You're not rubbish. You don't try. I can't do it all for you.
Oh, dear.
You want a girlfriend and you want a wife,
I
don't
I
you?
I haven't got one.
Well, you're not going to get one if you don't learn to do things like this.
Maybe Victoria can help me.
Maybe Victoria can help me.
Cameron, I would love to help you. I'll teach you to make a nice cup of tea.
No, I want you to find him, get a girlfriend. What's a girl?
And I want to buy one, Take Me Out.
You can't buy them off Take Me Out.
Yeah, you can. That's how it works.
Well, you never know, Cameron. Maybe somebody watching this or listening to it will think, oh, I'd quite like to be Cameron's girlfriend.
Yeah, you never know. If you talk properly and tell them about yourself, you might. Stop winking at me. You want to wink at them.
So, Lynn, have you heard of our BrainSet app?
I have. I saw it advertised on a local networking thing that I'm, because I have a business as well as where I work full time. And straight away, I was drawn to it. I was like, wow, what's this? Wow, so I had to look into it. you know, and that's sort of contacted you. I just thought, this is just brilliant. Yeah, I'm loving it. I can't wait for, you know, everything to be sorted out.
You see this here
that says brain set?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And it's to help people like you and Victoria, because Victoria's had the same.
Yeah.
With lots of information for us and for people like me that can help you. Yeah. It's just, but, yeah, it sounds fantastic.
That
it says brain set. Oh, that's mindfulness. Yes, and I can't wait. I'm very excited. I think it's, I've gone on Twitter and Facebook and I'm following and, yeah, looking forward to seeing what happens.
Oh, no, that's good. And we're really, really pleased to hear that. So you do think that the brain set app is going to be a help to you, Cameron, and yeah, everybody around you, your friends and family?
Definitely. Absolutely. I think, and because, you know, 20, I think I'm at the stage now where I want to start looking at things like this. I haven't before, to be honest. I don't know. It's been a bit of a block with me. But now I'm at the stage where, yes, I want to. And see, if I can help anybody, if we can help anybody out there, you never know. Because, you know, Cameron's story was two brain tumours, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, stem cell transplant, not supposed to make it. And now he's 20. Mm. So, you know, there's hope. So...
yeah, you're absolutely right. And there is always hope. And what we've had this conversation before, Lynn, that if anybody that's listening to this or watching this or obviously reading about it can get any link of hope, either, you know, whether it's you or your family or your friends, carers, or of course the patient, I hate using that word patient, but anybody can learn from yours and Cameron's story, then just touching that one person is worth doing it, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
App is also going to have like a social meeting group, maybe once or twice a month, so that those people that it's very easy, I've found it's very easy to have these thoughts, but you don't always want to share your bad days and your frightening days with your nearest and dearest, because they've got enough on their plate looking after you. And sometimes I've found that I need to rant or cry to somebody, but it can't be one of those other people that are very close to you, because they're going through enough.
I agree.
So that's
like with counselling to me, isn't it? It's like that's why that's easier, I think, because they're not involved with you. So it's a similar thing, isn't it? But there's going to be so much information on there and help that, from what I believe, all sorts. So I just think it's an absolutely fabulous idea and a fabulous resource. Yeah.
Well. Thank you very, very much, Lynn, for talking to us. Cameron, thank you too.
You're very welcome, Victoria.
Good boy.
Have you got a second name?
Have you got a second name, Victoria?
My second name is Watson Bradley.
Watson?
Yeah.
Bradley?
Yeah.
That's what's yours?
Cameron Gran.
There you go.
I have three names.
You have?
Three names? Are you collecting them?
I'm a Jack Glenn. Yeah, the Cameron.
Oh. Lynn and Cameron, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I will be in touch very, very soon.
Fantastic, Victoria. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to learn more about BrainSet, then you'll find us on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just type in BrainSet. We'll also put all of our links, including our GoFundMe pages and our subscription pages, in the link below. We hope you have a fab rest of the day. Take care, and we look forward to hearing from you soon. Bye.